Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight to continue with our study of the Word of God. We have been talking about the importance of resting in Christ, and we looked at the book of Hebrews to show how the same example of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, how they refused to enter into God's rest caused them to forfeit the promises of God, okay? And so in looking at that, we were looking, comparing these Hebrew Christians in the book of Hebrews, how they were about to forfeit the grace of God in their lives because of the amount of suffering or persecution that they encountered. So God had great things in store for them, but because of what they experienced, the hardship, the persecution, the opposition from the church world and their family and what have you, they were on the verge of just going back or apostatizing because they thought that the going back into Judaism would alleviate the physical pain and suffering that they were encountering. And we're the same today. And I heard a preacher today say how we seek relief instead of deliverance. And I want to show an example of that using looking at the Israelites in the book of Exodus, I think it was. And it just shows us an example of how we're so, it's so important that we be overcomers, okay? That's the importance of the book of Hebrews. It's showing that, and we talked about a little bit how there's an inheritance God has for us. And Sister Cynthia stated earlier how we're saved, and most, you know, we give our lives to Christ, but we aren't overcomers. Right. We're not overcoming sin. We're not overcoming self, the world, and Satan. The three biggest enemies that are against us are the world, the flesh, and the devil, okay? And so we have to learn. This is the whole point and purpose of our salvation experience. We said justification pretty much puts us on the starting line of change. See, we're justified. God positionally put us in the spirit man in its rightful position, right with God. But our condition is that we need to be changed so that we can be delivered from self, amen, from our own, our emotions. You see, many of us don't realize how much the enemy uses our emotions. You look at TV, that's what he uses. He uses Eve's emotions to gain a foothold in order to promote his agenda in the earth, which brought about the fall of mankind. It was her emotions and her desire to be like God and to be wise, but to go according to the efforts of the flesh. You see this? This same scheme throughout the years, different people, same old trick Satan has been using throughout the ages. And so therefore there's a need to be crucified with Christ. There's a need to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified to the world and it unto me. See, we have to be crucified to the world. It's thoughts, it's opinions, it's all its ideas. You see, so Satan will never present himself as evil. He always presents himself, especially to the church, as an angel of light. He presents sin as pleasurable, but it appears pleasurable only for a season. See this? So I want us to understand that we enter into the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says, through much tribulation. Why do y'all think it's because why we have to enter in through much tribulation? Y'all help me out tonight. Why is it that the Bible declares we enter into the kingdom through much tribulation? Not everybody at one time.
We enter into much tribulation because really, the enemy tried to keep us from when tribulation comes. The enemy comes and try to talk us into, you know, God ain't this and God ain't that. So we have to have the faith in what God and what Jesus did at the cross. So when the tribulation comes, that we can go through and lean on Him for understanding.
Right, right. So
And also the enemy, that he's doing his job.
Yes.
And he's going to cause confusion, stress, whatever he can throw us off course on. So tribulation is when we not, is, we should be concerned when we are, when we are not going through tribulation.
Yes.
A believer who's really believing is going through a lot of tribulation. Now, they may not look like it, but I get concerned when I don't go through anything, because now I'm like, am I walking with the devil now or what? You know, because he's doing his job and we need to do ours. So the kingdom is what was that scripture? But we walk by faith, but the tribulation is there because the enemy is against those who trust in the cross of Jesus Christ and covered with the blood.
Right, amen. Mm-hmm. But and remember, you know, go ahead, yes, ma'am.
And I also think about Job. You know what had happened? The Lord allowed Job to go through much tribulation, many downfalls. But he did see that Job was still one with him, even though he went through all of that. So in that, tribulation is going to be part of our lives if we are believers, if we do want to follow the will of the Lord. Throughout our lives, we're going to be in tribulation. And so he's letting us know, so it won't be a surprise for us. And as Minister Cynthia said, you know, you have to look, if things are going too well, what am I not doing? You know, what should I be doing? That kind of thing. But the Lord is just letting us know, throughout this life, if we're going to do his will, we are going to be challenged.
Amen. And
Minister, isn't there a scripture that... I don't know, but tribulation brings hope, or is,
yes.
What's that scripture?
Tribulation works patience,
right.
Experience,
mm-hmm.
and experience hope.
Right.
Not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So another reason why tribulation has to come is because, remember, our outlook at life and on life is based upon from a human perspective. And so oftentimes, honestly, God, when he comes in to deliver a change, it seems disappointing to the flesh. Because
yeah.
It's not what we hope for, or he doesn't work in the way that we hope. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
to
mm-hmm.
us, it's tribulation because it's a suffering of the flesh, of our
yeah.
of our carnal thinking, of our mindset, of the way we, you know, think God should show up and show out. But only God knows the deep recesses of our hearts. And only he can see, we think we're okay.
Right.
But God says, And so he uses Satan. Satan is not just out here doing stuff because he can. And he is in some cases, you know, with people who allow him to. But Satan has to get, he had to get permission. Y'all mentioned Job. He had to get permission from God to touch or deal with Job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tribulation, it says here, is a pressing, or, and this is in Acts 14 for y'all that want to reference it later. But it's a pressing, it's a pressing together, a pressure. And I think I mentioned to y'all before how certain things happened in my life, and it was like this pressure coming from all around. Satan wants you to, he wants to tempt us to sin, and God is using Satan to test us to make sure. See, remember, he's trying to purify my faith. So whatever area that my faith is not purely and squarely placed in the cross at in my sanctification, this tribulation is an oppression. It's an affliction. It's a distress. See what I'm saying? It will cause me, pressure me to the point where I have no other place to go but him.
Amen.
Remember
Amen.
Moses? Moses was in the wilderness, and it was no other place until he saw this. He was pressed. He saw the bush on fire, but it was not consumed. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And God, he shouldn't have been in God's presence. But his grace is what caused him not to be consumed. You see what I'm saying? God's fire presence normally is judgment. But this bush was on fire. It wasn't. It was an example of Moses being allowed. You see what I'm saying? The grace of God allowing Moses to approach but not consuming him. You see what I mean? God is an all-consuming fire, as that's what the scripture says. So this was God's grace. If Moses tried to approach God in self-righteousness, I'm sure he probably would have been consumed. Remember, God said, take your feet, shoes off. The place you stand is holy ground. If we're depending, see, it can be nothing in between Moses and the holy ground that he stood. So the sandals had to come off. He had to relinquish anything that supported him other than faith in God. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So the pressing, what happened in Moses' life? Moses tried to deliver the people in the energy of his strength, ended up killing the man, right? Ended up having pressure and getting pushed out of Egypt, the very place he was brought up in, into a wilderness, same place the Israelites got pressed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in Acts 14, and I'll read this before we get started. In Acts 14, it says, verse 22, it was talking about them preaching, and I'm going to read 21 and 22 so you can see. It said, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now notice that faith has a definite article. The faith is a noun, a particular faith. Faith has to be in the right object, the cross. Everybody's saying we have faith, and I hear people, one preacher put it this way. She said, we talk Christianese. We got everybody be talking, oh, faith in God, and I love you, but that's Christianese. We need to see it put in practice.
Amen.
See, so he says, we're to continue, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yes. See this? This is our whole salvation experience. When you overcome one obstacle, it strengthens you and I in our walk and our faith and our trust in God that we can now be face the next. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is a whole – but what are we teaching people in church? Oh, God's going to deliver you and everything's going to be fine and you're just going to get relief from your problems. But people never come to understand who God is, how he works. We just get delivered from – get relief from our problem, but we're never delivered from self, from sin, the world, nor Satan.
And it's a false reality.
Yes.
Because it's not about what we think about it, always being happy and the joy is always, you know,
right.
It's a false reality where people are actually looking for the day that they have no problems.
Yes.
Here on earth.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That honestly, things will get in the appearance of the net. It'll look rough or worse than like the church is getting worse or things are getting worse. But the reality is, when you look at Christ and he stood what he stood for and how he what he stood against, the light was shining, and it was shining in areas that had shown to man corruption. Man had the ability to come to Christ and be changed, and we saw, I'm getting feedback, I don't know if y'all hear it, but we saw that instead of man being drawn to Christ, they went more into darkness and crucified Christ. You see what I mean? So they would not allow this truth to change them. And the honest fact or the reality of the fact is, the matter is that when you're truly standing on truth, it's going to bring opposition from the world. And the church, religious church world. You see what I'm saying? It's going to draw the same thing that Christ encountered, his life in this earth. At the beginning, they embraced him, but the more he started getting closer to home and revealing what was in their hearts, the more they rebelled against him and turned against him. Because why? They wanted him to be, one, a king that they wanted, They didn't want to have to go through no hardship. See, they're in their mindset, and this is what we do in church. We have our idea of what Christianity is. So we learn Christianese. We learn how to speak the Christianese language. And we go around saying these cliches and all these things. But Christ, the whole purpose is to address sin. To deal with what's in our heart. They didn't want that part. They just wanted to embrace the Savior. And so we were talking about inheriting the kingdom. If we're not letting God deal with us in this area of our hearts on earth, how do we think we're going to be a good steward?
Amen.
When his kingdom, during his kingdom rule here on earth. You see what I'm saying? This is just a rehearsal now, because he's saying, when I return, will I find faith? Blessed is that faithful and wise servant when he comes, he finds him doing. See what I mean?
And so we always looking to fix somebody else, when primarily the Bible is trying to show us how to fix us.
It's all about, yes, ma'am. It's all about us. Because in reality, it may never be, I may not ever say anything to draw people to the kingdom. But what people are watching is how I live before them. You see what I mean?
Amen.
And if I'm not changed, if I can't stand in the midst of all this stuff that we're facing now and exhibit faith, that's what people are looking for. They, more than what I could ever say, is how am I living? How am I living in my home, on my job, you know, wherever I go? When things are difficult, that's when I find out what type of fruit that person bears. And we read last week, unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bring forth much fruit. Christ couldn't reach everybody in the world. But his death brought what? More sons.
Yeah.
He brought more to the Father in his death, right, than he did when he walked the earth.
Amen. Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
His death, he brought more. You know, so when Paul walked the earth, they wanted him killed. They had him beheaded, right? But what are we reading about today? All those years later, Paul's death brings what?
A lot of people to Christ.
Amen. Y'all see what I'm saying? We're still studying him. We're still growing, because he lived it, and his life, even though he had to lay it down, he brought forth more out of his death than in his life. Y'all see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So
when we watch people, when we watch people, there's good people that can look like they're Christ-like and, you know, or look like they're fruitful in the eyes of those. And so is it always, you know, it's kind of difficult just to look at people and determine where they stand,
right?
I would think, you know. There has to be a point of the character coming out as we also talk, and, you know, like you said, how we go through things. But everybody's not going to see every aspect of us in situations. So it has to get to some point. That person is going to have to experience that person in communicating if they really want to know what they believe in.
Right, right.
And hopefully their character would draw them to want to know.
Right, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. What what their lives exhibit, what fruit, how they live their life, how they. It's not saying an overcomer, and that's all that person is. It's an overcomer, and an overcomer is not perfect.
Right.
An overcomer is not someone that's got it all together. An overcomer is just like David. We fail. We mess up. But in your failure and in messing up, you're being real. When God reveals what's in our heart, I can't just, well, it ain't me. That's, well, at least I'm not like such and such. Y'all know how we do. We just try to ignore and move on. No, we have to acknowledge. David, when David was made known by Nathan, you are the man. Oh, Lord, I sinned. He killed Uriah, had Uriah killed. But he recognized that all sin was against God and God alone. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen. Yeah.
So David recognized when he recognized his wrong, he admitted his fault, he confessed it, he repented, and he went in the right direction. That's what made him a man after God's own heart, and that's what we have to do. And God detects all falsehood. He knows. We know when we're not real with ourselves.
Amen. Yeah.
Y'all see? Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have to, and this is just the cycle of being a victorious overcomer, living an overcoming life, okay?
It is difficult when, with new believers and old believers, depending on what old believer it stands. Is when you do, I remember when I really started going to church, I got my feelings hurt. I'm like, because I thought it was supposed to be peachy cream. You know, I thought everybody's loving everybody. And oh, man, I got beat up so bad that I'm like, what in the world? But nobody even had, you know, told me would know the reality of it. And think of how many people today is not being taught the reality of coming to a house. You do hear it's a hospital and people are sick, but that's not what people are expecting. And until it's been taught that right here, you have a lot of sick people. And,
right.
You know, I didn't give up, but it was very, I'm like, what in the world? These were leaders. I'm like,
right.
But, you know.
Go ahead.
These were so. I'm just saying what I'm saying is that a lot of people I know have come to even other churches. I try to explain to them, no, you can't look at people. Look to God, and they leave because they get their feelings hurt, and it's saddening.
Right, and see, this is why that's why it's important to be crucified with Christ.
Right.
And because we can't wear our feelings on our sleeves, but at the same time, you have the Spirit of God will give you discernment to know where people are, whether in leadership or whatever. And we have to go at the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes we'll sit there and say, well, I've been here all these years. Well, and then the Spirit is saying, it's time to go. And we just stay there, and then, like you said, we're getting our feelings hurt. But sometimes the Spirit may be saying, this is not, they're not evidencing the fruit. You know what I mean? And we're led to believe that we have to be a part of something and not understand that these people got to be submitted to the authority of the cross as well. Those in leadership, they have to be submitted to. And when the word of God is violated, all submission ends. But we're not taught to be dependent on the Spirit. We're taught to be dependent
right.
on the leaders.
Yeah.
Amen.
So people stay, get hurt, and they're sincere, but they don't understand. Because I know people now that are afraid of that if they leave a church, that they think that they leave a church, they're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Something's gonna happen.
Right. And I've heard people say, "You need a covering. If you don't have a," but they don't understand what being a part of the body of Christ means. The door of salvation is not the church; it's Christ.
Amen.
So there's a lot of things that the Spirit has to filter through, has to put to death. Look at the woman at the well. You know, the Jews said, but yet she never was her sin addressed. They were talking about worshiping in a mountain. She was talking about worshiping in the mountain, but she didn't even focus on her heart condition. And there are many in church focused on, y'all getting some feedback? They're focused on the tradition of church, but they're not allowing God to deal with the heart.
Right.
Amen.
Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to, let me see, if there's nothing else, y'all on the road tonight, huh? Let me see, if there's no more questions, let's go to, I think we'll go to John chapter 8. We left off there one week, and we never got back to that one. And then we'll hit Exodus, I think, chapter 6. Work with me, Sister Cherry. I know I probably told you to go somewhere else.
All right.
So from last week, we were dealing with the Hebrews and their unwillingness to go into the promised land because of a hardened heart, a heart that had not come to know God's ways. Okay? So back in John chapter 8, and I think it was verse 30. We read through this before, but we want to go down just to recap. We're going to do 30 through 47, and then we'll go into some scripture. So I'll interject, Sister Cherry, as you read. Let's start at 30 again.
Okay. All right. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Okay, let's stop right there. Now, I'm going here only because we're talking about how Christ is truth. And Christ is dealing with truth. And I'm not sure. I may have to mute some lines just to see if I can get this feedback out. But he's truth. He's the word. And the word is always after. It's going to make a demand on our lives. Okay? The word is always, it will make a demand in our lives. And it will cause us to rise up to change, for change. So these Jews had followed Christ. When you read in the previous scriptures, he had been preaching and teaching. So they follow him. Now, faith always has to be purified. This is what I want us to see. Every day in our life, remember, justification is perfect, is right. That's our position. But sanctification, our ways, our views, our outlook on life, our way of living and doing things, that we have to exhibit faith even in those everyday-to-day situations. So God, through tribulation, he uses the tribulation, the pressure, to get us cornered pretty much where we have no other hope but to look to him. This is the process of tribulation. It is, remember he said, we enter to the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Mm-hmm. And so God is purifying faith. He's trying to make sure that the only singleness of purpose that you and I have in that given situation is total reliance upon God's way, and which is the cross, okay? So if my trust is in, an overcomer is also a person who rises above hostile opposition or powers, okay? An overcomer overcomes or rises above hostile. He's able to face hostile opposition, power. This is from inside and outside. And what I mean by that, it means you may face an outward foe, but if you're not changed inwardly and let God deal with your own issues and your own heart and your own ways that are contrary to his, you will not be able to deal with the enemy outside of you. Am I making sense?
Yes.
So anytime we say we believe God, and we have faith in him, God is going, the word will come to prove whether your faith is misplaced or if it's in the right object or not. Y'all see what I mean? He's trying to perfect it. See, that's all he's doing. The demand or the test is on getting your soul, object of faith, your purpose in the faith solely in the cross of Christ. Because we can have faith in church, religious activities. We all been there. People, things. But God has to purify our faith until it's solely in the cross in every particular area and in our hearts and lives. So these Jews said they believe. Well, guess what the word is? God is an all-consuming fire. Remember how we described Christ in the book of Revelation? His eyes and how he was looking, he has a piercing. He's looking to correct. Remember the seven churches? He told them everything that they did right, and what they needed to correct. That's what he does with us. This is what salvation is about, sanctification.
Amen.
He's not trying to hurt us or punish us. He's just trying to discipline us or correct us, okay? So it doesn't feel good to the flesh, and this is a perfect example here. So then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, okay? He says, now presents a part of the message upon which their faith will falter, okay? What does he say? If you can continue in my word, there's a condition. So I can't just say, oh, I believe God, I'm a believer. Remember, God demands that we go further, that justification is the starting line. That just puts us in a position to be changed and worked upon.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed, every Christian is not an overcomer.
Amen.
You may be saved and entered in, and you're in the body of Christ, but every Christian is not an overcomer. It's different for each person, depending upon how much you allow God to perfect your faith and put it totally and squarely in the cross of Christ. So he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed or in reality? See, so he tells them, okay, now that you say you believe, this is the requirement. Because the whole purpose of you believing in me is for me to get truth to you, for you to come to know truth experientially. And this is what's going to make you free. Everybody's not automatically free. We have an illusion of freedom. You know, we say land of the free, home of the brave. And then you look at the reality. We're in bondage. They're taxing us to death. Inflation rising. they're taking away our freedom to speak. They're censoring us. Are we really free? Then God start revealing to you, they're saying one thing, but really it's another. They're placing you in bondage. This is what the enemy will do. He will say to you, Eve, you can be wise and like God, but he's not telling you the reality. I'm going to bring about the fall if you do, in your own effort, try to be wise and like God. He didn't tell her that part. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is the world. This is what Satan does. And this is why I said our emotions have to be crucified. Our passions and lusts have to be crucified. I have to be willing to face the truth, which is Christ. Pilate stood right there before Christ and said, what is truth? Y'all remember that in the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
Truth was standing right there. So it is possible to have truth, the word of God, before you and not understand it, nor be made free by it.
Right.
It's possible to go to church week after week and read it and yet have truth right before you, just like Pilate, and not understand it or know it. The children of Israel had God in their very midst. Y'all see this? But out of the millions that originally left Egypt, two went into Canaan, the promised land. Two, and then those children that were below 20, I think. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? You and I have to be made free by truth in order to stand in the midst of this crooked and perverse world and become an overcomer. Now, notice what their mistake was. Now, Christ said, if the condition is to continue in the word, the overcomer stands or trusts God in the midst of great difficulty when things don't look right, feel right. He or she has to continue in the word despite what things look like and how they feel.
Amen.
An overcomer does not make his decisions based upon feelings or following a crowd or going with or the opposition that comes against them. An overcomer continues in the word despite what happens to him or her.
Amen.
If we continue, then he promises you will know truth. See, God wants to know, are you just talking? You just saying you're a Christian? But then when hardship comes, there you go, wanting relief instead of deliverance. And this is what God is about. He's trying to deliver us from self. He's trying to deliver us from the dominion that sin has over us. He's trying to deliver us from Satan getting an avenue in our lives to wreak havoc. You see this?
Amen.
Let's keep going. Verse 31.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?
All right. I should have told you 33, Sister Jerry. I'm sorry. But look at their response to truth, to what Christ demanded. They reason. See this? This is why we have to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the truth or the knowledge of God. They reason within themselves. Instead of saying, well, Lord, we don't understand it, but we will seek to do your will. We seek you. We ask you to reveal or give us the... Y'all see what I'm saying? They immediately did what? Conferred to the flesh, and they said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. They claimed they had no bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Don't see, remember I said an overcomer has to be one that admits when the Spirit of God reveals an area of our heart and life that's not in line with the word or the way of God, you and I have to confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us, you see that, of
mm-hmm.
all unrighteousness.
Amen.
But their answer was they leaned upon their natural inheritance or their natural, the lineage of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. They looked for victory through being Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we do the same thing. I'm a member of a church. I pay my tithe. I read my Bible. Those things are right and good, and they are the result of living a victorious Christian life. But most Christians seek the symptoms or the result of Christianity and not the relationship that God called us to in Christianity.
Right. Amen.
You see what I'm saying? He called us to the relationship, and having a relationship by faith in the cross will produce the results of you being bearing fruit, you wanting to read your Bible, wanting to pray, wanting to pay tithes and go to and gather with Christians in an assembly or whether on the line or however you do it. See, that's the symptoms. So what is the church doing? We're seeking out the symptoms first. The effects of being a Christian instead of just being a Christian by following God and his word, Christ, what he demands. So we're trying to put the cart before the horse.
Amen.
And we're trying to be perfect and right, and we can only be righteous as we evidence faith, which allows the Spirit of God to exert his power in my life to bring my condition up to my standing right with God. So they were relying on being Abraham's seed. See where their faith was?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So when we rely on, put our faith in anything other than the cross, we can't see the reality of the bondage that we're in. And this is what happens in the church circles. We have a form of godliness. Why? Because we've denied the power. So we can't see the reality that I'm in bondage to self, to sin, the world, and Satan. But I'm a Christian and I go to church and I pay my tithes and I do whatever. We be Abraham's seed.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had questions, comments. And then they said, why do you say, now they're talking to Christ, why do you say you shall be made free? So it says, this proclaims that not seeing nor admitting their true spiritual condition, which Jesus will now readily address. So since they say they're Abraham's seed, let's see what the fruit of being Abraham's seed produces. Keep going, Sister Terry.
Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin."
The note says, "And whosoever is a servant of sin is not free." You are not free if you're not able to say no to sin. You are not free if you're not able to say no to self, the world, and Satan. You're not free if people say something to you or ask you something and you can't be free to give your honest desire or assessment of the situation. In other words, when people try to force you to do something and you can't say no. When you can't say no, you're not free. Because why? If you're worried about what people think of you and your reputation, you're in bondage. But freedom says, I'm free to be who God called me to be in Christ, and I can be honest. He said, let your answer be yes or no. Anything in between. Y'all know how we fudge. And well, I don't want them to think that I'm this and I'm that. God said, you ain't free. You're in bondage to yourself. You see what I'm saying? If you don't want to deal with something, you don't want to do something, I mean, you know, the other time you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but really you don't want to appear to be something or whatever contrary in their eyes, right? But as God frees you, it's like being honest is really better than saying and making up stuff and, okay, yeah. So this is what God wants to do. He wants to free us from that pretense. He came to point his finger on an area of their life that needed to be yielded to the Spirit of God. How many of us are quenching and the Spirit or frustrating the Spirit because we're not allowing the life of Christ to be revealed through us? We're in the way. So guess what they're doing? They're not going to be made free. Why? Because they put up, we're Abraham's seed. We weren't in bondage. They're not honest with themselves. So guess what? They will never be free. They will be servants of sin. It says, whosoever is a servant of sin is not free. There's only one way for the believer to overcome sin, and that is the cross of Christ, ever being the object of their faith. Let's keep going, Sister Cheer.
And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever.
The servant of sin will ultimately be cast out of the house, out of the kingdom of God. Whoever abides in the son will abide in the house. Otherwise, he will be cast out.
Amen.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Okay. So that free, if he makes you free, you're going to be free in reality. So it says Christ alone can make one free, and he does so through and by what he did at the cross and our faith in that work. A freedom which the world cannot give and, in fact, doesn't even understand. And we're going to see this in a minute with Pharaoh, because the people wanted freedom. And you can see that when you and I demand or desire freedom, Satan makes it harder. Satan will make it harder. Why? Because he wants you to remain the same. He wants you only to desire relief and not deliverance. This is us in the world. We just want, oh, I don't want people to talk about me if I stand for this and I stand for that. Oh, I can't deal with the real ridicule. But God says, no. Then you won't be made free. You're going to be in the bondage of people the rest of your life. You give Satan an inch, he's not going to take, y'all think the enemy going to take us back to the way things were before? No. You hear people, oh, I just want things back to what they were. And so whatever demands the enemy make, he's going to demand more. The more of your freedom you give up, the more he's going to demand. You'll never go back. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? But when you and I stand in faith in the cross, he makes us free where we can stand and say yes or no. in the face of the enemy. Y'all see, whatever the spirit desires us to say, this is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not afraid of what man could do to them. They were made free. They answered honestly. They didn't sit there and fudge to get out of their circumstance. They trusted God because they realized that he had their best interest. This is where God wants all of us. Not for us to fidge and fudge it and try to scheme to get out of problems and figure out how we can get past this, whatever. He wants us to stand and leave all the consequences in his hand.
Amen.
This is why freedom is, this is why God comes to bring freedom. Truth comes to make us free. Because as human beings, sinner or saint, we're not free in reality. We're not free indeed. Okay? We're positionally saved, but there's some work that has to be done in our heart, work upon our hearts and lives and our outlooks. So let's see what Christ's response is, 37.
I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you.
Now, notice here, they said they're Abraham's seed. So Jesus is saying being Abraham's seed by physical birth contains no salvation. So what the Jews, the Hebrews were going to do in the book of Hebrews, they were having hardship, but they were about to be made free. Always remember, when you and I seek to be freed from whether sin, self, the world, or Satan, the enemy will make it harder because he knows that we're looking at things based upon sight and emotions and feelings. And if you and I are crucified, the pressure will only cause us to go to God, to draw closer to him. If you're in the flesh and carnal, you're either not going to go, you're going to stand still or go backwards to that which is comfortable. So he said, I know you're Abraham's seed. That don't bring salvation. But you seek to kill me. So this negated their claims. They said they were, oh, we Abraham's seed, but yet they wanted to kill Christ. So these Hebrews said they're Christians, but when things got hard, they wanted to go back to Judaism, which was saying they were Abraham's seed. And it brought relief physically, but it would not bring them freedom spiritually. Why? Because his word has no place in them, in you. My word has no place in you. Remember he told the Hebrews because they erred in their heart, the Israelites erred in their hearts. God's word didn't have a place in them. They set their sights on Egypt. Egypt was still ruling their heart. They were his people, but they were ruled by Egypt. Their hearts were still in Egypt. In Egypt, we had leeks and melon, but they were slaves. Let's keep going, Sister Cherry.
I speak which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father.
Again, Christ reiterates the fact that he did only the Father's will, signifying that their father was the devil, despite their religious claims. Keep going.
They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham.
Now, notice here, Abraham was their father according to the flesh, the note says, but not true spiritually. They only grasped that part they could understand, the physical aspect of being Abraham's seed, but they didn't understand what it meant to be born of Abraham spiritually. He was talking about Abraham's faith. See, they were looking at the natural part. God dealt with the spiritual part. Anybody that was walking by faith were children. These were the people. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. You see that? They didn't embrace that part. They just grabbed the natural part, the lineage. And there's a lot of people in church and leadership. They're looking, they're trying to live this Christian life on a nat or a fleshly perspective and not a spiritual one. So he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And we said before, Abraham did what? Believe God.
Mm-hmm.
And only when Abraham and Sarah, all the hope of the flesh had died, then did they trust in God, and the promise was brought forth. So let's see what they work, their works were. Verse 40.
But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham.
So the reason why, the only reason why they want to kill Christ was because he told them the truth. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Following truth, you will not garner the crowd. You won't gain the crowd. But it's not about the crowd. Never put your focus on the followers or the people. It's all about being free to speak the truth that which comes from God.
Yes.
Christ spoke the truth, and the people desired to kill him, okay? He had gotten truth from God. Why? Because, remember, our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts aren't his thoughts. So they wanted to kill Christ. One minute they believed him and wanted to follow him. Why did they want to kill him? Because they were not crucified with Christ. They were not. How could they walk in agreement? Because they were on two different, and you will encounter people the same way. They may be in church, they may be in your family, they may be friends or whatever, but if the cross of Christ is not their object of faith in church, as family and friends, behind pulpits, you won't walk in agreement.
Right.
And you're saying two different things. You'll see that there will be an opposition or animosity because you won't embrace those things that they stand for. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's people that, some of these big time, I don't know if y'all seen some of these videos out there, but some of these leaders we hail as great men of God, they're not, and the world has them on big platforms, the Joel Osteens. But when you dig down and see what they really stand, they will never invite you into their ministry behind their podiums to preach. Why? Because you're not saying, they're appealing to the flesh. They're doing an emotional thing to make people feel good. But Christ gets down to the root of the problem, which is the heart of man.
Yes, amen.
See, I guarantee you that most of them people in that facility or that building have murderous spirits when truth comes to light. I guarantee you their countenance will change and you will see a whole different person when you stand against the things that they stand for.
Amen.
When you preach the truth of the gospel, a whole different countenance will show up. And you notice this here, they sought to kill Christ. But yet they said they were followers of Christ. Let's keep going, Sister Tyrion. Let me see how much time I got.
Ye do the deeds of your father, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God.
Okay, so notice here, they were trying to belittle Christ. You see this? I don't know if y'all caught that, but they said here, what was it, verse 41? He said, mm-hmm. They said, you do the deeds of your father. It says, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Y'all catch that?
Because
mm-hmm. Christ, Joseph wasn't his father. They see, they was trying to throw some shade.
Right. Uh-huh.
Y'all
amen.
See that? They're uh-huh. trying to throw some shade at Christ. And he's like, they like, you do the deeds of your father. Sis. While claiming to be Abraham's seed, they were not doing the deeds of Abraham, but rather the deeds that of Satan. So it says here, but we be not born of fornication.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have one Father, even God. And let's see what Jesus' response is. Keep going.
Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my word.
Okay, you will encounter, when you stand for truth and you allow Christ to make you free, you will realize Christ said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. He came to divide. He wanted peace, but remember, man's heart is contrary to the will and the way of God. Man's heart that's not worked upon. See, and that can go for a saint as well, but a saint that's carnal or that refuses to change. So it will cause you to be in opposition. If you're willing to be changed and worked upon, you will be divided with those who are not allowing this process to take place in your heart and life. If it happened with Christ, guess what it'll do with us? If you're following truth and being made free, the same thing will happen with you. You'll think that something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll think, well, I can't get along with it. Well, no, I don't have nobody, and nobody wants to hear what I have to say. It's normal.
Mm.
It's normal. Christ, he said, why didn't you understand my speech?
Mm.
Even because, why? You cannot hear my word. They heard it physically, but they did not hear it spiritually because they didn't know the Lord. And there we go thinking, oh, nobody wants to hear. And that's what Satan wants. Put us in a pity party and think that we are just weird. And God said, this is your pilgrims and strangers. He says, keep going, Sister Terry, 44.
Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Now notice, Christ has come back. Because remember, they tried to throw shade on him. Come on, we be not born of fornication. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Now, y'all have to understand, we think, oh, Christian, I got to just let everybody walk and say whatever. When you have truth and you've been made free and you've been given the proper perspective and insight and information, you will have the boldness. You'll be backed by the boldness of the word. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? The
mm-hmm.
Spirit of God. Christ knew what was in these people's heart. And so they tried to throw this shade on him, and he came back. You of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, you will do. You see?
Amen.
He said, your father, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. Talking about the devil. Because there is no truth in him.
Amen.
So when he speaks, he tell me when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And he told them, that's your father. Y'all see, we think Christian, they got us thinking that, oh, you're supposed to be, oh, don't offend, don't say this. No. Of course we be spirit led, but you can say things. Christ did not demean them.
Right.
But Christ spoke the truth of the word because he was trying to. They were rejecting. They said they were followers. And this is why anytime people say they're Christians and you see them contrary to the truth of God's word, it's a man that we stand up and shine as light. He said, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove it. Because in your reproving it, you're trying to correct them. if we sit back and just, well, I don't want them to think this and say that about me, of course we have to be spirit-led in how we say it.
Right.
But if it comes from a heart that has been crucified with Christ, it'll come across in love, okay?
Amen.
So verse 46, we're almost out of time. Let's finish up these two verses.
Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
Now understand this, when we live a life that we have been crucified with Christ and we are changing from the inside out, when you see stuff that's not right or scriptures that's misquoted and miss whatever, and you see deception and all this stuff, it will, just like Christ, it demands this righteous indignation will cause you. It's not something you do in and of yourself, but it's something that comes from, it builds up from the inside and comes out of you like the rivers of flowing water, right? Out of your belly. And you will stand for what is true and right. And what it calls you to do is it causes you and I to walk in the truth of the word. So therefore, we're not walking in sin nor deceitfully, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So when you're backed by that, you can stand up in boldness and confront the error. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He says, which of you convinces me of sin? They couldn't do it because they couldn't back. Christ was walking in the authority of the word. He not only preached it, he lived it.
Amen.
He says they could not point to any sin he had committed. This is why the Christian have to make sure that we are practicing this life of walking in holiness. It's not you and I doing it in our strength, nor us trying to say, well, did I walk holy today? No, it's a natural response to a heart that's been humbled and submitted to the cross. So remember, the Holy Spirit will put his desires in us, and we will work out what he's put in. That's what it means to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because as I yield to the Spirit and I admit the areas of my life that he needs to put to death, he in exchange gives me or imparts the life of Christ by the Spirit of God in me, and now I start walking the same way or allow the life of Christ to be exhibited through my body. I'm the temple. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the temple, I need to let God, just like he did in the temple and the tabernacle, there was a process. There was a table of showbread, which was the word of God. There was the altar of incense. There was the candlesticks. I need to be the light. I need to let the light burn, the light of the Spirit, so he can inspect every area of my life that needs to be yielded. And if I do that, the world can't convict me of sin. God will deal with me in the secret place, the world, not in open exposure where the world can ridicule and laugh at me, but he will deal with me in the secret place. He said, and if I speak or say the truth, why don't you believe me? He said they didn't believe because they were not of God. See this?
Amen.
He who is of God hears God's word. So it says, the closer to God one is, the more one hears and abides by the word. This is what our tribulation and all that stuff work towards. It's getting us to abide and hear God's word more and more. So I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they present to me on TV and stuff. See, people probably think I'm crazy because I say contrary to what the world says. Why? In reality, it's a whole different narrative or a whole different perspective or view than what the world presents. Satan is the god of the world system. He controls the masses of the communication and how we get information and all that. This is why he says, take heed what you hear and how you hear it. Because if Satan can distort how you hear, then he's going to distort how you pray. You're going to be praying from a wrong perspective. You're going to pray from a perspective that's contrary to the reality. You see this? This is why the bondage has to come down, because it affects our prayer life. It will affect how we view and look at things. Satan knows that. That's why he takes control of everything we see and hear. And we have to be disciplined enough and growing in grace and knowledge enough to where we let go of that bondage. Truth often, and I'm going to close on this, truth often has to go underground. What do I mean by that? When you read the church history, all throughout history, the true church always went underground. And today, true Christianity is going underground. Why? Because the world will censor the truth, whether it's from the church or whether it's from the true truth in reality and in regards to other things. It never is on the masses. It's never reported according to truth. Always has to go underground. The true church always had to go underground. Now, the religious church and the big churches stood tall, was recognized by Rome, was recognized in Laodicea. Y'all see what I'm saying? But the true church, those who stood for what was right and were persecuted, it went underground. And I think my time is up. Let me see here. We're going to take questions and comments because I'm pretty sure the time is up right now. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And, yeah, we're over. But we thank you for listening tonight. We pray that we said some things that will encourage you in your walk of faith. And until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.